even if they have really...
Evelyn or Evelyn O'Connor is running a huddle here in Conn.
So I kind of pride myself on being easy to find. And leavingbridgeenglish.net is my blog, and that's where my whole journey began. Let me see, what did I want to talk about? Okay. I set up my blog out of frustration because I had a severe bout of laryngitis in April 2011, and every time I went back to work I lost my voice again, and this took place over a period of about 6 weeks, and I was supposed to be preparing my students for their French orals, so it was a bit of a bad time. So I started kind of finding ways to use social media and ways to use blogging and ways to use technology to kind of help them. Even though I couldn't speak, it became my voice. But the thing that I found really, really interesting was that most students don't go for the information as they're going along through the learning process. They kind of have this, which is, this is the day before the exams, and they're going, and it's kind of unfortunate because I guess they don't get the full benefit, because learning is a process. The knowledge is there, but the skills are something you develop over time. This is June the 4th, which is the day before Leaving Cert English, and these are my blog stats. And by 9 o'clock in the evening, I had 24,362 page views, and that's purely born out of panic. I'm panicking. I'm typing in Leaving Cert English because the exam is tomorrow, and this is where I'm ending up. And by the end of the day, 31,950 page views, and that was the day before the Leaving Cert. And what I just find really interesting and really frustrating from a teacher's point of view is that, I guess, knowing what you need to do and being able to do it are two very different things. And there's a tension there, because knowledge can be found by Google, but skills are developed over time. What else did I want to say? So the early days of kind of edtech for me and social media and education for me were just what I could do online. But I started to get way more interested in what my students could do online. So these are just extracts from a Facebook page that some students created for Juliet and for Romeo. So what they had to do was they had to integrate language, or like modern language and Shakespearean language. I will kill myself if I have to marry Paris. I can't do this to Romeo and sad face. And then the quote from Shakespeare, I long to die. The other one here, I won't betray Romeo. I just won't. I can't. I would rather go into a new made grave and hide with a dead man in his tomb than go behind his back. What I love about this one is the way modern language and Shakespeare become absolutely integrated. These are second year students. They're only 14 years old. And yet they're really, really engaging with the language of Shakespeare. And they started to see the characters as real people. This one is really interesting. This is their wedding night, and she wanted to say that basically Juliet had lost her virginity, but she didn't want to say it. So she goes, just prove to Romeo that I still love him, smiley face, which I just think is classic. So I guess then I'm interested as well in my responsibility as a teacher. Do I teach them to respect the system or hack the system? And which is of more educational benefit? So in order to create Facebook pages, they have to put in fake names, fake date of birth, etc., etc. Is that responsible or irresponsible of me as an educator? On the one level, it's good that they know that the system can be hacked. But I'm dealing with teenagers, and if I'm teaching them that it's okay to fake your date of birth to access something online, that's really irresponsible of me. So I came across all these tensions as an educator in what I should and shouldn't do. I'm really interested. Oh yeah, here's one for Romeo. Tybalt is in the tomb. What the fuck? Why is he here? The last thing I want to do is fight. I beseech thee, you put not another sin upon my head. When I was taking these screen grabs last night, I noticed another interesting thing, which is that they were tuned in enough. They couldn't put the correct date in, because you can't put 1594 or whatever. But they did make sure that the date of births of Juliet and Romeo were the right distance apart. He's about 4.5 years older than her in the play.
Wow. Did they think of that?
Yeah. Oh, I have no input. This was their project.
They figured that out.
Yeah, they were tuned
in.
In a group or individually? So this was three people worked on, two people worked on Romeo's page, two people worked on Juliet's page. And I only noticed this for the first time last night, and I just thought, wow. They knew what age he was. They extrapolated. We talk about literacy and numeracy.
Is this all in your blog post?
No, some of this is, some of it isn't.
You can take this to TED.
Okay.
This is that good, isn't it?
So, brilliant. So then I just wanted to talk to you quickly about another project that I had done, which is I think the power of social media in education is when students own the learning and they create something themselves. So this year, I did a songwriting module Tea Wise, and this was based on I used to write songs when I was a teenager, and it was totally kind of I just did it in my bedroom. They're really embarrassing, you know, I'm playing for you. But I kind of thought, boom, virtual high five. So I kind of thought maybe I can do this in my classroom. So, what we did was a lot of them were like, "I'm not musical," and I said, "Well, how about I give you a melody?" So I brought my guitar into class for about 3 weeks, and I just sit down with maybe three people and say, here's a melody. So we just pick out three chords, very basic stuff, and they would build on the melody. And you know, I'd ask them, what rhythm do you want? Do you want, you know, slow, fast, medium, whatever? And what kind of style do you want? And then I'd give them the melody. They'd record it on their phone, so they had the melody. They'd go home with the melody, and then they'd try and kind of develop lyrics to fit in with the melody. So we uploaded them on SoundCloud, and then we stuck a video on YouTube because we found out about a competition they could enter, and they got really excited about the idea of having an audience. And I think this is the next big thing in education, or maybe it's last year's thing or the year before's thing, but students need an audience beyond the classroom, beyond the teacher. So they got 1,511 views of their song on thingy, and they were really, really excited.
How much on SoundCloud did they get?
I'm not sure, but it definitely went much bigger on YouTube, but that's how we promoted it. I don't think the speakers are good enough for you to really hear this, but so this girl had written a song in English, and we heard that the competition was in Irish. So she translated it into Irish, or with the help of the Irish teacher, entered the competition, got to the All-Ireland, and came second. And this girl, when she was going up to accept her prize or whatever, she turned to me and she goes, "Things like this don't happen to me, miss." And I just went, boom, yeah. So she's not someone who is, you know, massively academic, you know, but she got a sense of, I guess, who she was and what she was taking from. So the most recent project is the one that I blogged about, which is getting the students to pretend to be characters in To Kill a Mockingbird on Twitter. So they can use their phone in the classroom. I've got Wi-Fi set up, give them Wi-Fi codes. They log in, they create their profile. This will make you laugh. So Bob Ewell is he's kind of white trash, and he's accused Tom Robinson, who's a Negro, of raping his daughter, Miss Maella. He didn't do it. And this is what she put in as his Twitter bio, and it's taken from the novel. And this is really clever. So this is what he does. It's a mixture of what she made up and what was in the novel. Drinking and hunting, raising all eight chillin', all on my lonesome. If I ain't the father, I can't do nothing about it now, because their ma's dead. Which is just excellent.
This is one of your students.
Yeah.
You must be a great teacher.
Oh, I try. Now that nigga be saying she's lying, and then of course that nigga be looking for something for my Maella. Now then we had this big discussion about one of the kids wrote nigga and freaked out, and she was like, "Oh my god, what am I going to do?" And I was like, "Okay, first of all, you're not tweeting as yourself, you're tweeting as a persona.
Yeah.
Second of all, that persona belongs in a context, which is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Third of all, if anything happened online, you know, you don't have to just sit there feeling uncomfortable about it. You need to talk to somebody about it. You could take..." And now, I didn't tell her, and I must do this on Monday, first thing on Monday, teach her how to take a screen grab if something happened that she was uncomfortable with online, and said, last of all, if something happens in an account that you run and you're really uncomfortable, you have the power to self-destruct. Delete the account. And then she's like, "Oh, okay, it's not as scary." But I am strongly of the belief that we're not teaching them how to be safe in a digital space, and it's such a big part of our responsibility of educators that we're just not taking seriously enough. So I'm kind of passionate about that, but I don't know where to go with it. This is kind of some of the feed. What we did was we protected our tweets until they got comfortable, because a lot of them hadn't used Twitter before.
Just to go back to that briefly, have you hooked in with Webwise?
I'm kind of aware of them.
I'll pass you on the details. I think brilliant about educating the teens in the digital space and how to stay safe and protect themselves.
Brilliant. I think I have. I think I'm with them on Twitter.
They're working with Miss Dr.
Yeah.
She's on their advisory committee. The students are asked. It's all about educating student advocates.
Yeah.
The students themselves educating.
Brilliant.
So that's ideal for you.
Definitely.
Anyway.
Yeah. If Webwise had a picture instead of a an icon. I definitely follow them on Twitter, but I haven't interacted with them. So anyway,
can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Sorry. Is it a case then with the various characters that are within To Kill a Mockingbird, you assign them to class?
I made a list of characters and I said, these are all the characters, who would you like to be?
Okay.
So they took a persona.
So they are...
So they have an element of choice. Like, it's not about me saying you must do this.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, the stats are on my blog, but it's really interesting. Like, some of them were really into it, some of them weren't. So, like, I asked them about internet access. 66% of good or very good internet access, but 19% of poor or no internet access at all at home. 65% of access to a computer, 31% of access only sometimes because it's shared with other people in their family.
Yeah.
One student had no computer access, no internet access, nothing. Like, wow. I worry about the digital thing, that you're actually aggravating the digital divide in some ways. But anyway.
They have access in school, though, wouldn't they?
A lot of schools are, a lockdown zone.
Yeah,
don't take out your phone or it gets confiscated, whatever.
Digital takes practice. No matter how much you get in school, it embeds itself when you get out of school.
Yeah, sure.
Although that shouldn't be the case. Like, I think that we should teach them to use it in a way that they learn it when they're still in a safe environment.
Yeah.
And when it's still, I think we're going down the route of e-portfolios, but there's something about being a teenager that you should be able to make mistakes in a safe way, that it's not going to be there forever. Anyway, the other project I was involved in was one with Bernie, where we did a youth media team. But I didn't want to talk about this too much because this is not my baby. I can't claim anything except that I was lucky enough that they took me on board and asked me would I like to get involved.
Do you want me to turn off the audio?
No, it's fine. Bernie won't mind. He's used to hearing me rabbit on. So this was a celebration for World Teachers Day on the 5th of October, and these students were between Leaving Cert and first year or second year, and it was just amazing to see them work. What they did was they interviewed the people at the event. Like, they interviewed David Coleman, Fintan O'Toole, Avery Nihulwan, loads of really influential people, and No Fear with Audioboo uploaded them online, and Bernie was the digital genius behind it, because I'm kind of enthusiastic, but I'm technologically challenged in a lot of ways, so I kind of need someone behind me who'll make it work, because I don't know how to make it work. Then they had to tweet, interview, record, post the Audioboo, tweet out the link, a blog about it, and take a photo. And they were just learning in
each
one
individual
day.
Each individual had to do that.
Yeah.
Each person had to do that.
Yeah, well, they were working in pairs.
Yeah, yeah.
They had never done all this.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just...
And I never met them.
Bloody lot.
It was amazing.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah.
I can't imagine really good.
And I'd never met them before. It was...
Which part did they find hardest?
The blogging.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess my takeaways are, sometimes people say, oh, if teachers would only use more technology in their teaching, as if it were kind of that simple, and it's very patronizing when you're someone who's actually in the classroom going, there are nuances that don't get out there. Access is not universal. In my experience, it's problematic for about 20%. Engagement depends on access to the tech, but also there's a complex interaction between the attitude of the student, the attitude of the teacher, and the project that they're doing. So I find some projects that involve tech are more enthusiastic than others, and it depends and whatever. I'm really interested in this. I read on someone's blog post, it might have been yours, that 61% of Twitter users are lurkers and 64% of Facebook users are lurkers. Was that you? Maybe it's someone else?
Just that's very good news, though, because the more people who lurk, that means the more people see our stuff without us being aware of it. And since I already think only 4 people listen to my audio boots, it leads to kind of a large number of other people hearing
this. Well, Bernie's one of mine once. So
But from a marketing perspective, you think of active and passive people, whereas from an educational perspective, anyone who is passive or anyone who is selectively mute or who is choosing that in the classroom, as a teacher you feel like in some level you're
not engaging.
You're failing them. if they're not engaged on some level, you're failing them as a teacher. Some people say, oh, it's just, well, you know, the students are engaged or not engaged, and that's because they're either good at school or they're not good at school. That's crap.
And
but it's a personality.
Yeah, yes, and it's absolutely, and I think sometimes like students should be given the option to opt out. So one of my students said, I feel, well, any of these projects, like the Twitter project, like one girl said, I just feel under pressure, I feel like I have to complete, or people want to know if I don't. So at a certain point I said, let's make it optional. If you feel like this project is helping you engage with the novel, helping you to understand it, and it's of educational value for you, then make the decision to keep doing it. If you feel that it's actually having a negative impact on your education, you're distracted from what's happening in the book, you're feeling under pressure, if there's any trace of anxiety in your being at all, just stop. I don't mind, you know, and that's like in education circles, it's differentiation. You allow for the people it's helping to keep helping them.
These are second years.
So this is a junior cert project, so they're 15. And then I guess, I mean, from my perspective, your portfolios are here. They're part of the new junior cycle, which starts in September. I'm an English teacher. I'm going to start teaching the new English course in September, and I'm going to do that on the strength of one day's training, because that's all that they'll fund. Any portfolios, like where a student has a digital record of their learning. So, like, rather than everything that you learn or everything that you write goes into your copybook, it goes into some kind of a digital space. But there are huge questions over privacy, over protecting the data, over whether a student... learning doesn't happen when you're anxious, and if we put them in a space where they're going to feel anxious because this has to be, like, I'll give you an example. I was showing my students how to submit homework via Google Docs, and I had set up a folder, and they were really anxious around, is that folder a shared folder? I said, yeah, it's a shared folder on Google Docs. Are other people in the class going to see my homework? And their anxiety around that, and you know, people are talking about peer-to-peer a lot, like in education, peer-to-peer assessment, peer-to-peer learning is massive.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has to be with the consent of the person who's...
Like when I was talking to parents during the summer, like the teacher, my son was going to have, now he's only in primary level, one of the things they often said was he gets them to correct each other's homework, and I'm like, well, that's fine, that's perfect, that means they learn, and because I think it's really important that you're aware of what level everybody else is at, like, and he moves them around and stuff like that, so it's not like they spend the whole year just correcting,
and it's considered good,
yeah.
It's considered good practice from a teaching point of view. Yeah.
And it was put in the Guardian recently in one article as well, comparing your insides with other people's outsides is not a good way to live, you know, and it's true for homework as it is for deeper psychological reasoning, you know, so yeah.
So
can I ask you, just before you finish though, I mean, what kind of support is there in the Department of Education? I mean, are there people in the Irish Department of Education who are, you know, in tune with you? And who would regard you as, you know, a heroic champion of the future. Are there those people, are there civil servants who hold that viewpoint?
When
it's being recorded.
No, I'm not. I've never been diplomatic in my life, Bernie. Have I? I don't do diplomacy.
But I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I need to know the answer because I need to know what kind of a world.
Yes, the woman who is the head of the NCCA is a woman called Anne Looney, and she is 100% in tune with all of this.
Really?
And she is a change
What's
builder.
What's that organisation you
mentioned? The National Council for Curriculum and Assessment. And the lady is Anne Looney, and she's on Twitter, and she's extremely engaged with all of this. You've got the National Council for Technology and Education have just joined the PDST, which is the Professional Development Support Service. It's just that change happens slowly, and it has to happen from the ground up, and that's the case no matter what you're in. But I mean, yeah, I guess my blog has had 1 million page views in 2 years, and that's without me. I don't market. I'm just.
What's the blog called?
LeavingCertEnglish.net.
Just a comparison point. I've had a blog since 2002. I have 3.1 million views. So you're looking at somebody who organically, by a single-handedness, is the fastest growing individual blogger. More importantly, without saying this, Evelyn probably gets more page views than Damian Mulley.
Thank goodness.
No, without saying this, I mean, now if you want to look at Mulley's stats, they're public. You can compare the two. That's significant. That's a very significant thing.
How many people follow you on? How many people follow your blog? What is the? How many people RSS your blog?
I don't know any of this. All of the,
you're not a techie, are you?
I'm a recovering techie.
That makes two of us.
Recovering techie.